And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I am the lovely, luxurious Lara Ladenmy. Today on the show, paddle.
It's a top sport played all over the country, and now Bristol's got its own LGBT plus paddle group too. Before that, though, there is rice at home.
That's a well-known saying in most African households, as filmmaker Louise will be telling us all about it.
All coming today, right here on Shout Out.
Oh, that I messed that one up.
You want me to do it again?
Yes. Oh, here we go.
Well, I mean, it's up to you. I know you're not here every week, so when you are here,
yeah,
we got to take advantage of it.
I hear you. I can't believe I messed up. I thought it would be a choreo. I am actually so sorry to the listeners that I made Andy redo that again, but I have to come correct to these sessions. Because, I'm not really here very much, and I really do enjoy doing that. That should be the theme song of my life, I think.
It's lovely to have you, though, as always.
Oh,
especially
gorgeous.
On these cold, dark nights.
I don't understand this weather. Like, it goes cold and mild, and then sunshine, and then just rain, like 100% of the time, every day.
We've been okay. We've seen the floods.
Oh my god! So, like, I had my company meeting on Saturday, and it was like, trains out from Cornwall to Exeter that were just cancelled. I was like, oh, typical National Rail, West or whatever.
Nothing to do with the fact that it actually got washed away.
I literally went down to Exeter and everything was flooded. The water was up to tree branches. I was like, what is this? It was insane. Yeah. Every river flooded.
Yeah, we kind of escaped because we escaped the snow as well, didn't we? That went above us and below us. Did a classic, completely miss Bristol. Yeah.
I mean, I said, I stand by the fact that I think snow in the city is slushy, whereas it's better in like the countryside.
Yeah. So it depends how cold it gets.
That's true.
I mean, the whole show today is about indoor things, so we're fine. Ooh, we've got film and we've got I think paddles indoors, correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah, it's indoor, mostly indoors.
I can't wait to hear about paddle and what it does and what it is in the sport. But yeah, I'm so excited for today because we're talking about film, especially the...
Are you a big film buff? Do you like your films? You know, here at the community centre, Queer Vision are screening loads.
Oh, no, yeah. I didn't know that. I didn't know it was here.
So if you're local to Bristol, Queer Vision, which used to be, I think it's still part of Bristol Pride, I'm not sure, but they're screening a load here as part of the festival.
Oh, I love that.
And do you remember we did the Iris Film Festival cover then?
They have
launched this year's competition, because obviously you can win, and it's a big year for them this year. I think it's the 20th?
Yeah,
20th anniversary.
I love
film. £40,000 up for grabs with Iris. It's well worth it.
I think film just allows you to escape, and especially like you said, in this weather, it's nice to have that escapism. And I especially love, like, this. I'm such a sci-fi nerd. Like, I love science, so like all the sci-fi made me able to like dream, and then like, you know, it just I love the emotions that you get from films. I think is incredible. So,
and what about dancing?
Oh yeah,
would you do a queer tango?
Oh yeah, I'm a dancer, Andy.
You are.
Do you not know?
I've seen you at Pride.
Well, exactly. So case in point. But that's more like booty shaking.
Well, I'm asking for a particular reason, because there is queer tango coming up, and Sophie very kindly actually sent us a little bit about it. So have a quick listen to this.
We'd love to invite you all to our upcoming Valentine's event. We've got a tango taster, queer tango taster, coming up on Sunday the 8th of February at 2 to 4 p.m. and we're holding it in the Architect, in the upstairs space above where Indigo normally happens. And all LGBT people are welcome, all genders, orientations. Even if you can't dance, you're really welcome to just come along, have some fun and give it a go. You can come with your friends, in a couple, with a date, or on your own, and we'll have a little social afterwards. Booking is free via Headfirst, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Oh, wow. So there you go, yeah. So that's the 8th.
That's going to be amazing. Mm. Louise, would you go?
I would. I have no coordination dancing skills. But.
Okay.
I mean, you're the weekend after. Are you going to have enough free time to go tangoing before your big weekend on the 14th?
But you know what? It's nice to do something like so fun and freeing.
Agreed.
As well. And to just let everything loose a little bit.
And also
so.
To not be good at something. Like, as in, like, I know you, like, everyone wants to move those hips like Shakira or like, you know, Beyonce, but at the end of the day, it's just about being free and like moving your body.
We've seen you.
I mean, who hasn't at this point? I don't hide it. But yeah, no, like, I love tango. I love the like passion.
I've never
it.
Done it.
Have you?
No, I've never done it. That. I mean, I've obviously been clubbing and and the like. I mean, I used to be the DJ more than I was actually on the dance floor when I was younger.
So. I definitely think
I've never
you
done
do it.
Tango or waltz
it's
or anything
quite
like
sexy,
that.
Sexy. So why not? Yeah. You and Carl, like. I can't.
You're doing a shimmy.
I'm doing a little shimmy forward and back.
I don't really have the chest for that.
I mean, still, you can get the shoulders in it.
Get the shoulders.
Sorry, I'm going off mic there. But yeah, like I think tango is amazing. Also, salsa is quite a good one to do.
Anyway, big thank you to Sophie for sending that in. Go along. That's on the 8th of Feb, and that's at the Architect. So.
Excellent.
Now, we ought to say a welcome back to Louise. Hello again. It's lovely to have you back on the show.
It is an absolute pleasure. And when I reached out to Laura, I was like, please. And so it's just always a joy to be able to return to such a like safe space to talk about with people that you know they're going to really hold you. So it's a joy.
Oh, my God. When we interviewed you that time, I didn't expect it to be so quick that you'd come back and be talking about another film. That's brilliant. I love its like essence. So, do you want to tell us a little bit about like...
Well, before you do that, can I just ask, how did the last one go?
Oh my God,
it was gorgeous, wasn't it? Did you go see it as well?
Yes, of course. And then there was a panel after. It was such a lovely event, and I think a lot of people felt seen in that.
And it felt really safe, and I think it really invigorated me to be like, ugh, I need to do more of this.
So it's not here we
are. It sparked the flame of your being the director then. Like, do you think it kind of gave birth to that kind of passion?
Absolutely. I just loved it. I just loved the whole journey of bringing a story to life from like initial conception to like you see it on the big screen and beyond. So yeah, I think I genuinely feel like I found like a new career path. which has been great.
I love this because creativity and like the way in which you articulated that story was so beautiful for everyone that was in the crowd, and you could feel the energy. So I'm really interested to hear about this new one you have.
I think you're gonna love it.
And I booked my ticket already, everyone, so.
we gave a little bit of a kind of clue on the top of the show, didn't we, when we said there is Rice at Home. Can you tell us a little bit more about it, because until I read the show notes on this one, it was not a, I mean, I'm obviously not, I don't live in Africa, but can you give us a bit of background behind where that came from?
So I think there's always a really, and I remember doing this for the premiere for the first one, there's always a really interesting journey when you're trying to pick the name of the film, because the name of the film kind of really portrays what people are going to come in and watch. But I really wanted to play on the a commonly known African saying of there's rice at home. So oftentimes when children or young people are going to their parents or elders being like, can I have, well, the typical things like, can I have McDonald's? And then they're like, there's rice at home. And you're like, damn it. And so is that, but the essence for me is like, actually there is already an abundance at home. Or a lot of the time, especially in African households, they are expert at making something out of nothing. And so I felt like that was such a beautiful kind of essence to kind of portray within the essence of the film in terms of the abundance of culture, of heritage, and how do you kind of bring something so familial onto a large screen through storytelling from different cultures and people.
And I guess what was the moment you turned around and said, no, this is the film that I want to make?
Well, do you know what? When I did my first film, which was all around adoptees and adoption, that was very much based on my own personal lived experience. And I feel like this is like a sequel, if you could say, but not quite a straightforward sequel, because I've never grown up around Black Elders, around the culture and the heritage, and I didn't realise what I was missing until I got like a taste of it. Mm. And then it was like, you know, that kid in the candy shop that's just like eating so many until they're literally feeling physically sick because you're just there like, oh my god, I've never had this.
On that.
I remember that chapter of my life where I was really like, give me everything about Black culture right now, I'm not having enough of it.
Like, yeah.
And so I really, like, for me, this is like a hug to myself in terms of not having those Black elders in my life. And over time and over the recent years, I've been lucky enough to find Black elders in my life that I look up to, and that have really guided and shaped me, and they all have such beautiful stories. And so I wanted to kind of tell those stories, because I feel like most likely or definitely there's other people who also need to hear them.
And it's so, I see the breadth that you've got. You've got Rwanda, Bangladesh, India. Did you see at any point there was like a similarity between those kind of like that heritage, or did you see like quite a lot of difference? Like, what was that experience of like learning those?
Well, there was a mix of difference and similarities. And I think what was so beautiful is that each of the different women had never met each other. The only common denominator was me, that I brought them into the room because I was like, you're dear friends to me and I want you to be in my film. But actually what we found when they were in the room, they formed friendships and connections really quickly. And even though there is obviously very clear differences within their cultures, there is also some really strong commonalities around family, around community, around the importance of food that brings people together, and kind of a nod to the film. Rice is such a like stable in every single culture, and then each culture just adds their own things to the rice. So that even the concept of like there's rice at home, it kind of ties into each of them. So I found that it was so beautiful because they felt like they really held each other throughout when we did the filming. And you can really see it on screen in the film that there's like a string that kind of ties, an invisible string nearly, that ties all their stories together, which I feel like would, like, a lot of people are going to resonate to in different ways.
That's so what I love about
it. Is it documentary style then, or is it telling a story style?
Yeah, so my specialism, or the way I like to do film, is through storytelling and documentary.
Right, so a bit of both.
Yeah. Because I think everyone has great stories. It's just about often, like,
how you bring it out and make it shine.
And having having the opportunity to tell your story. But everyone has a really great story about themselves and what they want to see for themselves in the future.
Like, you've spoken about this project being both like a gift and something you that arrived to you in quite a difficult moment in your life. How did that connection to the film kind of shape, I knew like what's going on in your life, shape like how the outcome of the film?
Yeah, because when I started doing the, because I got I had the opportunity to make the film because I got so I was successful in applying for a program for Black creatives, which was funded by Arts Council England. And so it felt like an admissible opportunity, that you, those things that get offered and you just say yes and you just work it out as you go along. It was at a time where I was redundant, out of a job. So I felt really at the, you know, when you're like, what am I going to do with my life? And you're just like holding on to like, okay, well, this is it right now and we'll see what the future holds. And so across...
But kudos for doing that. Though.
Yeah, that's such a
made redundant can be a very...
It's terrifying.
Very horrible thing to suddenly turn around and go, I know what I'll do. I'll make a film.
Yeah, it was terrifying. But also it offered me this like beautiful opportunity to be like, actually, what do I want to be? What do I want to do as a job, as with my life? And so, but through during the filming process, I had my brother who passed away I think it was like two weeks before we were set to film. And so I think it was that kind of really hard time of whether I kept going or whether I packed everything in. And I think the outside world would have very much understood if I had packed it all in. But I think for me, I've always been so driven by my goals and my dreams being bigger than all the obstacles that I face in my life. And so actually the film gave me a lot of hope, and it was the messaging that I wanted to hear when I was younger. And because it kind of resonates about elders and the importance of kind of Black representation and holding on to those stories, I know that it's something that that whatever was happening in my life now, that I'd be really proud of myself in the future. So, and now that the future is now, I confirm that I'm so proud that I did this.
Yes. And you did go back to Rwanda, didn't you? This quite recently. So what did that feel like, connecting with your heritage and then while also doing and planning this film?
Oh gosh, do you know what? You know those moments where you're like, the stars are like land in a line in such a, you couldn't have predicted it, right? With all the sequences of events, because my trip to Rwanda was there for 3 weeks, and it was it was like the warm hug that I desperately needed. And I think I saw my culture through a very different lens. And I am utterly obsessed with like Rwanda and just the feeling of home. And so kind of linking it to the film about that kind of real importance of having pride of your culture, but also you can only have pride of your culture if you understand it.
Yes.
Otherwise you're holding on to God knows thin air.
Crumbs. Yeah. Like literally crumbs.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now over the years, I've really taken the time to be like, who am I, kind of like, you know, what's my history, but also what's my future and what do I want my future to be? Mm. And so I think the trip back home kind of reinforced about kind of pride of being Rwandan, and kind of staying true to that and also holding your head up high in a world where very much, you know, it's nearly easier to water down your culture whilst living in England, but actually to really be really like, no, this is who I am, and also I live in the UK and this is all the experiences I'm going through. I think it's such an earlier defiant and a really kind of like empowering thing. And then also you just never know what that ripple effect does around people around you when they see you hold your culture and your heritage with such pride and such grace.
It is so gorgeous, because I don't really have that connection with my like Nigerian and Grenadian side. Like I love both, but like I don't have that like feeling of home there. And I still want to go back and know, I actually do want to feel that at some point. So it's really beautiful to hear that you have.
But it took me a decade, so
that helps them a little.
But like, it's a journey. It's a journey, and it's so different to different people. But it's a journey.
So tell us about this film. Like, give us when are you showcasing it?
So I'm showcasing it at Watershed, which is my pride and joy venue.
On a very special day.
Yeah,
as well.
On Valentine's Day. So I feel like it was a bit odd to be asking people to like come spend Valentine's Day with me. But like, it's going to be great.
Love is in the air. It's about like, love of the heritage.
Exactly.
Why not?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's going to be at Watershed on Valentine's Day, 14th of February, on a Saturday, and at 11:30. So it's like a morning thing.
Yeah, nice.
Time for breakfast, getting up, going for a walk the dog. Do whatever people do on a Saturday and
move on down and
come on down. But I think it'll be a really great place for people to feel connected and to also meet other people. And I think there's such something beautiful about film that connects strangers together. And then you can walk out of the cinema and be like, oh my God, like,
and doing
that
on Valentine's Day is incredible. Well, thank you so much, Louise, for coming in. You've been fantastic as always. Can't wait to have you back again.
Thank you. Absolute pleasure.
But for now, yeah, thank you for coming.
I assume if people want to book, they just Watershed, they can book the tickets.
So if you type in Rice at Home at Watershed, then it should come in the search engine and it's on Head First.
Oh, cool.
Head First, Mark. Yes. Cool.
It was pretty easy to find. I could do it. So.
I have a feeling we might see her in the Irish Prize at some point soon. You never know. Are you tempted?
My dream is to keep making films, so,
and put them in festivals.
Yeah, and get them in festivals and go global. So
Irish is the biggest in the LGBT festival in the world. So
nice. Okay.
Anyway, I have a funny feeling we might be having you back on sometime soon.
Oh, 100%. I'll make an excuse.
But for now, thank you very much.
Thank
it's lovely
you.
To have you back.
Thank
so
you,
stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. Back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Andy, that was a banger.
It's a brilliant one, isn't it?
Do you know what? Me and my friend did Tiny Temper Pass Out at karaoke.
All right.
And I was like to my friend, there is no way we're going to be able to rap this. Like, I'm not a rapper. We went on and we killed it. We earned like an extra drink token. I was shouting at the crowd. I was like, giving it everything. I love Tiny Temper.
Well, that's his new one. It was actually on Graham Norton last Friday. Ooh, he performed it live. And that's called Energy. And he performs it with Alex Mills. Is the lady you can sing in there too.
Oh, Andy, that was a pick.
Yeah, it's
definitely
Brownie
Points.
It's a real highlight banger, that
it
one.
It is. That's going to be a summer tune.
Yes. Yeah.
I think they always get released a little bit early.
Yeah.
But
Now, we got the news coming up, which, interestingly, me and Tara are doing. I never did the news.
Yeah, I never heard you do the news. I just want to see you perform, Andy. Let's see it.
Well, I was doing fine, but I don't know if you can hear it. I'm slightly losing my voice.
Do you have another voice? It's doing that
deep kind of film announcer type thing, you know.
Okay, like,
coming to a cinema near you.
Ooh, okay, Andy. Damn, I had a flutter there, but okay.
I am quite glad I'm the only bloke that does that to you.
Yeah, I mean, thank God. But yeah, like it was. I'm looking forward to you doing the news. What have we got?
We will give it a go. We're not Terry, and we don't pretend to be Terry.
No. So we took out all the fancy words.
I do love Terry. He's a sophisticated gentleman, and I love him so much. It's your flavour.
You want to do it?
Oh, that's an absolute no. Right. I can't read like properly. Like when I. It's a learning difficulty.
What makes you think
thing.
I can?
I mean, because you're...
I get nervous when I do this.
I know, I get so much anxiety.
We've been doing this show nearly 16 years. We start in June this year. And this will be the second time in all that time I've ever read the news.
Fair.
After I read it the first time, Mary went, "You're never doing it again."
I clenched my toes at the opening bit. I'm like, get the word right, Lara. Like, I'm just like, because my brain panics and just speeds ahead.
It's local radio, remember.
That's true. Okay, fine. Still, though, it's because of Terry's like professionalism.
I know
he's very good, isn't he?
You would just live up to that kind of...
And we're not prepared anyway, because Lucy does an amazing job of it.
Everyone does an amazing job.
Matthew does. Should we give it our best go?
Yeah, on there. Yeah, right. College chart.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday the 29th of January. Bristol Pride has announced a rise in ticket prices for this year's festival, citing a significant drop in corporate sponsorship. Organisers say many former corporate partners have stepped back, shifting the financial burden onto the community-run event. In a statement, Pride said the increase is necessary to maintain the event's scale, safety and accessibility, emphasising that it remains a not-for-profit celebration. The festival is also grappling with a major shift in social habits, noting that younger attendees are drinking far less alcohol than previous generations. This has led to a sharp decline in bar revenue, which was once a key income source used to subsidise costs. While supporting healthier choices, organisers say they must now find alternative ways to cover the essentials. With both sponsorship and bar income down, Pride is calling on local LGBT+ groups, charities and businesses to help through volunteering, fundraising or partnerships. Despite these financial pressures, the festival is moving ahead with a major lineup for its event on the Downs this July. Headliners announced today include global disco icons Sister Sledge and Australian pop star Jason Donovan. They'll be joined by RuPaul's Drag Race favourites Mikey Meeks and Catherine Feelings, alongside other acts including Black Box and rising pop artist Chloe Keisha. Pride expects around 40,000 people to attend what has become one of the UK's largest Pride events. Over 200 performers are set to take part this summer, with more acts to be announced in the coming months.
Reports suggest that the government is working with the Equality and Human Rights Commission to modify new guidance on single-sex spaces. Sources told The Guardian that lawyers are reviewing a draft code practice handed by the Equalities Minister Brigitte Phillipson last September. The guidance was drawn up following the Supreme Court ruling on the Definition of Sex and Equality Act. The original proposals developed under the previous EHR chair would have restricted transgender people accessing to single safe sex facilities like toilets. Source claims that discussions have become more quote, constructive under the new EHRC chair, Dr. Mary Ann Stevenson, who took up her post in December. They indicate a more pragmatic approach is being considered, one that could lessen the potential financial impact on businesses. Last year, over 650 companies, including Ben & Jerry's and Lush, warned that a ban on trans people using single-sex spaces could place them at a constant risk of legal challenges. The Equality and Human Rights Commission has not commented on the specific changes. Under law, the government can only request amendments if it formally rejects the initial draft.
The BBC has issued a formal apology to a former radio presenter following an employment tribunal. Jack Murley, who worked for the BBC Radio Cornwall for 5 years, alleged he experienced homophobic harassment from colleagues at the corporation. He reported incidents including the use of homophobic slurs and a colleague stating that gay people are, quote, a lot more likely to die of AIDS. Murley said he received homophobic abuse from listeners. He claims that when he raised this with his manager, he was told he was told it was not the manager's job to deal with the abuse, and he was instructed to sound less gay on air. Following the tribunal, Murley stated on social media that he met with senior BBC management and received a, quote, formal, full and unconditional apology for the homophobic abuse he experienced. When contacted for comment, the BBC did not acknowledge the specific meeting. A spokesman for the corporation, though, said he welcomed the tribunal judgment but would not comment further. Mr. Murley was dismissed in 2024 after sharing social media posts criticising cuts to local radio. The BBC said the post breached its editorial and social media policies on impartiality. At the tribunal, Murley alleged his dismissal was due to discrimination based on his sexuality and his role as a union representative. However, employment judge Alistair Smale ruled that the sacking was not discriminatory and that the BBC's decision to dismiss him was, in the judgment's word, reasonable.
A man from Salford has been convicted of grievous bodily harm and intentional suffocation following a fatal encounter with a man he met online. 28-year-old Josh Baxter was found guilty at Crown Court after he restrained and suffocated Michael Barron at his flat, fracturing a bone in his neck. Mr. Barron died from a lack of oxygen to the brain, which caused a cardiac arrest. However, the jury acquitted Baxter of manslaughter. The court heard that after realising Mr. Barron was seriously injured, Baxter did not immediately call emergency service. Instead, he searched online about the likelihood of going to prison and left the flat to collect a takeaway delivery. A specialist prosecutor for the Crown Prosecution Service, Karen Tong, said Baxter showed, quote, no concerns for Mr. Barron's welfare. She added that the thoughts remain with Mr. Barron's family. While evidence showed that Mr. Barron had consented to being choked before the encounter, the prosecutor stated that this does not permit an assault causing serious harm. Medical experts stressed that strangulation carries extreme risk of catastrophic injury or even death, regardless of consent. Josh Baxter will be sentenced on the 24th of February.
The High Court has refused permission for a legal challenge against the trans-inclusive policy at Hampstead Heath's single-sex swimming pools. The gender-critical campaign group Sex Matters sought to challenge the City of London Corporation, which manages the ponds. The group argued that a recent Supreme Court ruling, which defines sex in the Equality Act as biological sex, should mean the ponds are reserved for individuals based on their birth sex. However, the corporation stated that the Kenwood Ladies Pond is not and has not been a single sex facility under that definition, precisely because it has long permitted trans women to access it. The corporation maintains that its inclusive access arrangements are consistent with its duties. The court's decision coincides with the publication of a public consultation which found 90% of the respondents support the continuation of trans inclusive access at the ponds. In a response to the ruling, Sex Matters founder Maya Fostata accused the corporation of, quote, linguistic trickery, arguing that it was attempting to circumvent the Supreme Court's judgment. The City of London Corporation has not issued a further statement following today's High Court decision.
And finally, LGBT, pagans and practitioners of Celtic spirituality worldwide are preparing for a powerful seasonal moment. This weekend brings Imbolc, the festival honouring the goddess of Brigid and the first stirrings of spring, and it coincides with the February snow moon and also known as the quickening moon. Traditions describe the lunar phase as a time when Earth begins to wake from winter sleep, encouraging reflection, renewal, and the planting of both literal and metaphorical seeds for the year ahead.
That's it for this week's Shout Out News. Why not visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt for all these news stories and more. For Shout Out News, this has been Andy Shilton.
And Tara Fraser.
Oh, I never thought I'd say that. And now I can't find my play button.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you. For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Jack Savaretti, that is. We will always be the way we were. So another one from Graham Norton as well. Can you tell I've been catching up with Graham Norton?
Is that what it is?
Yeah. And I was listening to the tracks and I was just like, oh, I really like that Tidy Temper one. And then this one played. So
this is when you
are you Tidy Temper fans or no?
Can't say we are. No.
What about that? Do you like that one?
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, it's quite a nice one. It's a bit more mellow, isn't it? It's not like a like dance your tits off type thing like Lara likes, you know. So anyway, I've just written your name on another sheet and then moved it. Laura and Shion, is that right? A very warm welcome.
Hello.
How are you
Thank
both?
Thank you so much for having us.
It's lovely to have you here. First time as well.
First time?
Nervous.
Oh, don't be.
Okay. It goes quick.
I mean, you heard us through the news earlier. It doesn't always go completely right, does it? I mean, for a first attempt, I didn't think that was too bad. It was, you know.
No, I thought you did well.
We got there. So, now, you come in to talk to us a bit about sport. Can we clear one thing up first? Is it paddle or paddle?
It is paddle.
It's paddle. So, but there is one called paddle, isn't there?
I'm sure there is. Yeah.
Is it the same kind of thing or is it completely different?
Well, it is paddle, but it's so a rocket paddle where we play. It's the women's paddle night called paddle.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So now give us a bit of an idea, because I mean people may not even know what it is. I'm sure most people know tennis and squash and badminton and like, so what's paddle?
There is a common misconception that paddle is just tennis in a box, but right. I would say it is, when you start to learn it and you have coaching, it is a totally different sport on its own. None of the shots are the same. With tennis you got a lot of spin. With paddle you kind of push the ball. You do have glass walls around you, so you play a lot off the glass, so I guess in that way it's a little bit like squash.
I was gonna say it sounds more like a squash court.
Yeah, but you generally play in doubles, so you've got four of you on the court and you actually with your doubles partner move up together and move down together, whereas in tennis obviously you might have like a front and a back. Yeah. So it is actually very different when you get to play, but I will say it's so addictive.
It is very addictive.
Is it over a net or is it against
the wall? Over a net, and against the wall, like you hit it off the back wall, hit it over the net.
The non-technical answer I'd say is a hybrid between tennis and squash.
Okay, but yeah, it sounded a bit like that.
Yeah, it's a bit of a hybrid.
What's the racket like? Is it like a tennis racket or is it...
No,
it's a bit of like a carbon fibre one with like holes in them.
Okay.
So it's a bit more like...
So not strings then?
No strings.
So that's sounding more like a giant table tennis.
It literally looks like a giant table tennis.
It's like swing ball.
Swing ball.
That's the most similar racket.
That's show my age
there. I could just hear Lara go, what's swing ball?
I don't know what swing ball is.
It's a 70s thing.
Guys,
swing ball was...
Is it that thing you have on a stick? And the garden goes around.
Oh,
I love it. Is that what the paddle's like?
No.
Okay.
Paddle's far more mature than that.
It's like that.
No, the racket is like that.
Yeah, it's like a thick carbon fiber holes in the middle.
Does it hit it quite hard then? Like,
if you have a lot of power in your arm, you can send it.
I did see you can spend a small fortune on a paddle.
So as a beginner, I spent, this is so embarrassing, I spent £300 on my first racket.
Oh my gosh.
And I couldn't even use it. So I've downgraded since then because it's so, like, why did I buy that? Because I thought it would make me the next, you know, like paddle star.
And it did not.
It didn't.
No.
Wait, what is the difference in the, like, the paddle, difference of the panel? Like, why is it not for you?
Each one is a different shape. This could get really boring. I could talk about it all day. There's like diamond, round, like square.
Is it shapes? Is it
right? Different shapes? Okay. Different like lengths
control
of the grip.
Power. Yeah. But basically, she bought a pro racket when she was a beginner. So that didn't work out.
I'm getting there on my journey.
So, are you setting up a league? Is it a league system you're going to do, or is it what you plan? What's the plans?
We're not a league. So Pride Paddle is a non-profit community sort of project Laura and I started. So we do friendly social tournaments for people in the LGBT community and allies. So not so much a league. We like to encourage people who... so for example, I had no racket background. I actually had like a foot condition and I just wanted to do a bit of sport.
Yeah.
And so we thought... Laura had seen it and she's like, let's give it a try. So yeah. That's how we started Paddle. And it's actually very accessible, I found, more than tennis.
Unless you want to spend £300.
Exactly. Unless you want to spend, but actually, there's a whole range. I spent £70 on my beginner racket, for example.
Right. Yeah.
There's a whole range and it's very accessible. It's quite easy to get into.
Yeah.
So our events are a bit less of a league and like, you know, achieving, but more about taking part, showing up.
Okay. We do enjoying
do,
it.
Enjoying it, yeah.
Yeah.
We do prizes for like first, second, third place, but we also do prizes for like most improved.
Really competitive.
We do big prizes.
Yeah.
Like in the paddle world.
Smarties.
Bigger. Think bigger.
Yeah.
No, because when we started, we, like obviously as a beginner, you don't feel super confident to go to tournaments. Mm. So we were turning up to tournaments, but, and they were really good, but I guess like the prizes we thought, we just kind of saw a gap in like, we could do like big prizes for these events as well, just to make it interesting for beginners, because you're only going to win big if you're like really good at the sport. And that's the same with a lot of sports. You've got to be like really up there. But we've just gone down the route of like doing these huge fun tournaments, and a lot of our players are beginners or quite new to the sport, and we do a prize for like most improved, for example. So even if you're not very good and you've lost your first six matches, if you win a couple of others, we work it out on we've just gone paperless, so it's all like done on graphs and stuff. We'll give prizes to like most STEM's improved there. And stuff.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that we
they notify you by WhatsApp.
But the other thing we saw a gap in was and like Laura said, there are a lot of tournaments and they're really good, but we kind of saw they're quite expensive.
Yeah.
And I think for the LGBT community, like we're quite keen to make it affordable, so it shouldn't be like you shouldn't pay £40 per person to go for a tournament.
Yeah.
But you should be able to pay something that's a bit more affordable for you, and that's why you're running non-profit, so anyone can actually just like show up as a beginner. You feel encouraged to actually try, you can meet friends.
That's the thing, isn't it? I mean, especially if you're not doing sport and you're out of touch or it's not really your thing, it'd be quite intimidating to get into.
So yeah. Walking into the room.
I mean, so if I'm in that situation and I'm listening, thinking it sounds quite fun, but I'm a little bit shy, what am I going to experience if I come along?
Honestly, I always look good at tournaments and think, oh, good vibes. Like, I wish I could play in them. Same. That's how I feel about them.
The feedback we get is genuinely, like, people that were slightly nervous are like, oh, my goodness, the community here is just so lovely. Like, you turn up, we've just, like, got rainbow flags all over the club. We've taken over everything. It's so queer everywhere. We're all wearing these, like, T-shirts and, like...
They're on now, I hasten to
add. They're on now. Wear them every day now.
I think no one told them it's radio. They turn.
I know.
Because we put like quite a lot of effort into like reaching out to brands and stuff, we make sure that like with your ticket to the tournament, you turn up and there'll be like a check-in desk, free like a little bit of free merch stuff like keyrings, badges. We check you in, you sign a waiver, so then we have a like that early communication, give you a wristband, explain the rules and stuff, and then we've got like we get golden paddle to come along and do golden paddle racket demos. So you meet them, they show you all these different rackets. We've got free pastries and cakes supplied by Cake Smiths that come along, and then we've got like Tenzing energy drinks. So when you walk in, it's not just like you're stood there kind of waiting
there's
to go
real,
on
like,
but
it is, it's like a social
everyone
element.
Is a tournament, is it? It's not a case of you can just come along and practice and learn it, because what if I've never done paddle
before?
The exciting thing is we now do intro to paddle sessions, so we're working with a coach in Bristol and we're doing intro sessions. So if you've never tried it before and you want to learn, you can actually come and learn in that safe, you know, LGBT plus space.
Yeah.
And we're scheduling so it's at the same, like just before a tournament, so you can actually come to learn to play paddle, but actually stick around, meet some friends. And people usually come early. Like Laura said, there's cakes, there's pastries. Who doesn't love free cake?
So it's a bit of a funny thing to give away cake before you go into a sports.
It's spiky.
Then you're gonna work it off. Energy.
You're going to work it off straight away.
You need the energy.
I thought it was a thing in the opposition. Yeah.
So what made you start it then?
To be honest, it came from a place of when we started playing paddle, I was kind of, you know, we're in our late 20s, not to give the age away, but we're like, we kind of want to make LGBT plus friends. We want a community, but we couldn't seem to find one where we felt we could fit in.
What made you pick paddle?
My dad lives in Spain where paddle is like really big.
Yeah.
And so I'd played it when I was young.
Right.
And then I saw it slowly was coming to the UK and I thought, I need to play this now because I've been waiting for it to come here. You actually found the coach and we just started.
But I was very reluctant as I'd never played a racket sport and I was like, I don't have the coordination for it. I'm not going to like it. But then I slowly started making friends and then I thought, I'll come back here because I've got friends.
But also before we started, it was very much we were couch potatoes, did not do any exercise and we were sort of like, we need to do something. So if we can make friends, build that life for ourselves in Bristol and play a sport and stay healthy and fit every night, like we played every single night for like 6 months. We didn't take a day off. Like, it was crazy.
We went from the couch to
doing
every single day.
Yeah. Like 2 hours a night. Like,
yeah. It was so bad.
And set up the club as well.
So how long ago was that though?
We started playing about a year ago, I'd say.
Started Pride Paddle in September.
Did our first event in November, and then we've done three since then, and then a few more booked up.
And we've got
it's just snowballed, honestly.
So you're going to have an event at Bristol Pride, are you?
You explain.
So we have tried to kind of do it around Bristol Pride, but didn't work out.
Okay.
So at tournaments, you get about 48 people and we started having people come from London, Cornwall, Dorset to come play with us. So actually what we're doing this summer, quite excitingly, is we are going to do an event in London and then in Dorset.
We're going on tour.
Again, non-profit to actually take it to people who, they kept traveling and they were like, will you ever come to us? Or we need a LGBT kind of paddle community there. So that's what we're doing this summer.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So if people are listening and would like to come along, and can you also just come watch?
Yeah.
You can.
We get a lot of family members who, you know, come
and friends
who come and watch. And yeah, it's quite important for like Laura and I, like, you know, because a lot of people want to, you can bring your family, you can bring your friends, anyone. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And we would just encourage anyone, just try it, because you never know. Like, for me, it is genuinely just given me a new lease of life and I just feel so healthy and like better for it mentally and physically, but also just like being around like-minded people. And in your I just turned 30, I do find it harder to make friends at this age when you're like living in a city and just working all the time. So that I would just encourage it. It's such a good environment to be in.
And I would say same thing as well. I think for me, I grew up in Nigeria, so I didn't think I'd ever be openly gay. I moved here when I was 15. I'm now at Laura, and being able to have like Pride Paddle, I always knew like when I came out, I wanted to, I don't know, not inspire someone in that way, but like if I had someone like me that I could look up to, I'd quite like that. So I say just go for it. Like, it's a space where everybody's welcome.
Yeah.
So it is nice. Our whole community is very positive, and especially the way the world is at the moment. We need positivity.
You
know, there's so much negativity out there. Having something fun, you know, whether it's just showing up and watching or getting involved.
It's such a laugh as well. So. Even the people that just aren't too good or anything, it's such a laugh when you see people enjoying it with their friends and smashing the ball out of the court, and it's honestly such a laugh.
Well, we are running out of time. If people want to get involved, how do they get hold of you, how do they find you, etc.?
Pride Paddle on Instagram is the best way to find us, because on there there's a link tree and that will give you links and explain everything about how to get to our events, and just get in contact if you're unsure about anything. We answer all of our DMs very quickly.
Cool. All the modern thing, DMs.
DMs.
Well, listen, it's been lovely lovely catching up with you. We'll have to stay in touch and perhaps we'll have to come broadcast from one of your tournaments.
Ooh,
please. So, or maybe come play them.
Play and broadcast.
Come on, make him play. I'll play.
Doubles.
Welcome to Shout Out.
I'm usually first aid in rugby, so it's an exercise I get.
But no, honestly, it's brilliant. It's lovely to hear such fantastic things going on. So if you are interested, do check them out on Instagram, as I said. But for now, thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully we'll have you back on again soon.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. Back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
Are you going to go play paddleball now?
I'm not sure. I'm in my 50s.
So?
Oh, they're saying, yeah, they're telling me I have to.
Your mics are wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
I was whispering.
Yeah. Ooh. Another racket to buy.
Yeah. I've never done it. My dad's a big fan. That's probably because he keeps going to Spain. And you know, as you were saying, it's big in Spain, isn't it?
Yeah, so. I spend my money on shooting.
Yeah, clay pigeon shooting. Yeah, cheap hobby, that one.
No. Not at all. But yeah.
So, it's really nice to hear it's actually a success as well. We were just talking off air a minute there, and you were saying you got like big thing coming up in May as well, haven't you? Which will be
wicked themed tournament in the Oz Cup.
Yeah. So, and we've covered the Bisons, who are the rugby team, and they've had their big Bingham Cup, which is the European.
They've got something coming up soon on the post. They're talking about some coaching development thing people can come along
to. they've really grown. In other news as well, the King's Cross in Cardiff closed down. I don't know if you know it. It's one of the most famous, you'd probably just say LGBT pubs, gay pub as we used to call it, back in the day. It closed and everyone was like mortified. They were like, it's Cardiff's main LGBT pub. Guess who's just announced he's taken over as the proprietor?
Okay,
the lovely Mike Coe, who runs the Old Castle Green here.
He's going to run every LGBT.
He is. He's taking over the LGBT world. So,
well, it's not just LGBT, is it? He's got.
Oh yes, he's got other ones too.
He's got other ones too now.
Yeah, but we'll have to see if we can catch up with him and find out what he's got planned for the venue.
He's never going to have any time left.
No, I think he enjoys it though.
So, always busy.
Yeah, always busy. So, and I don't know if you heard in the news there, they have announced some of the acts that are coming for this year's Pride.
Yeah, I was quite... Jason Donovan, really? That's the first time... I mean, of all the years, everyone turns up and I'm a bit passé, but Jason Donovan? Yeah.
The last time I saw him, he was in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, when it first ever launched as a stage show.
Yeah.
And to be honest, he was very, very good. So, but he quite likes Bristol, because Bristol has a thing called the Jason Donovan.
Yeah.
I've been there many a night.
Not supposed to admit to that on live radio. It's supposed to be health and safety and not paddle.
Not for like 10 years.
Nothing wrong with the yard, the kebab.
There's quite a few there. And that's not even the main ones. They've only announced a select few of them. But do get your supporter wristbands now. They've gone up a little bit, as you heard. They've lost a lot of sponsorship, as have a lot of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of prides gone under already. Yeah, and that's another scary thing.
Don't want Bristol to go under.
Yeah.
The earlier you support them, the more you help them.
And it's expensive just to rent the space up there, apparently.
Oh, it's horrendous. I mean, the cost of like even the fence around the edge, you know. I don't think you've got a script in front of you.
No,
so
I don't.
You're
going to have to do this bit.
That's it for this week. If you want to hear any of this show again or any previous ones, they're all available as podcasts on all good podcast providers, as well as on our brand new website. To listen again or download them, just head to shoutoutradio.lgbt. We'll be back again next week when hopefully there'll be a bit
a
more.
A few
than
more?
Just you and me. It's lovely doing it, just you and me. But for now, and you can join in with this too. Everyone, say bye-bye.
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 Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.